center of this week's parsha, we have the episode of the Mechira of the Bechor between Esav selling the Bechor to Yaakov. And one of the major questions that the Mefarshim address in this transaction is exactly how did this transaction take place? Aside from which method of Kinyan was used, there's a big discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. Was it a Chalipin? Was it a Situmta? What type of Kinyan was used? But many of the Rishonim are bothered by how a Kinyan, in fact, was done over here. After all, we know that there's a rule when it comes to Kinyanim in Halacha, when it comes to making a transaction in Halacha, that a person can't be Makne Adavar Shaloi Ba La'olam. You can't be Makne something which you don't own yet. That's one of the major rules, one of the major principles of Chosha Mishpah. You can't sell that which you don't own. It's actually a problem halach l'maisa, because in our economy, very often people are selling options that they don't own yet. But that could be a very interesting discussion, halach l'maisa, how that would take effect. But that's the question asked over here by the Rishonim. How, in fact, did Esav sell the Bechor? Even if he wanted to sell the Bechor, he couldn't sell the Bechor. It's a davar shel bal olam. He didn't have the Bechor yet. He didn't have it. All that profit was only coming to him once Yitzchak dies, as the Gemara tells us explicitly. In a few places, the Gemara says, someone tries to sell that which he will yarshin, can't sell it. It's a davar shel bal olam. It's not here yet. That which is not here, you cannot sell. So many different discussions. The Ketzos has a long discussion about this. The Ketzos says really what was going on over here was not a sale. Really, in fact, all Esav was doing was detaching himself from a right which would ultimately give him assets, which a person can do even at davar shel bal olam. If you know that certain amount of money is coming to you, you could be what the Ketzos calls misalik yourself. I'm not giving any transaction to Yaakov, but I'm misalik myself. I take myself out of the picture, and by definition, once Esav is out of the picture, the Yerusha will go to Yaakov. That's the approach of the Ketzos. However, the Rishonim already addressed this question. And the Rishonim say differently. It's basically a discussion between the Rosh and the Tur, the Rosh's son, the Tur, and the Rivash, one of the other Rishonim on the other side. Whereas the Rosh and the Tur say a fascinating Chiddush, and this is developed by Achronim later, that perhaps you're right, you can't sell a davar shaloi ba la'olam. That's with the Kinyan strictly. But if you take a look at the Psukim, we see that there's a Shvua which takes place over here as well. It's not merely a Kinyan between Yaakov and Esav, but after the Kinyan takes place, Yaakov makes Esav take a Shvua. Now what's the need for such a Shvua? Why would he have to make a Shvua? The Kinyan was already Chal. So come the Rishonim and say, why is it that you can't sell a davar shel bal olam? Because if it's not here yet, we assume the guy's not really serious. It's something called a lack of smichas das. You're not really serious until you have the assets in front of you. Yeah, I'll sell it to you. I'll sell you the bridge when I get the bridge. Okay, come back to me in a month or two. Now I need cash, so now I need a soup. So give me the soup. I'll deal with you later. A person doesn't have smichas das. He's not really serious about it if it's a davar shel bal olam. However, if you take a shvua as well, so that makes it much more serious. That makes it binding. And therefore, the shvua together with a maisa kinyan, says the tour, says the rush, that is what made this transaction actually take effect in halacha. The Rivash says, no such thing, it can't be, doesn't make a difference. Not only is no such thing, I don't believe the Rush said it, I don't believe the Tur said it. Never happened. Someone else wrote it in their name. It's impossible that anyone ever offered such a thing. So the Rivash says, what do I do? Had the transaction take place? So the Rivash uses the old card. He says, before Matan Torah, there were Kinyanim, but before Matan Torah, there's no problem of Davar Shaloi Bal Olam. And there are many Achronim explain why that might be, why before Matan Torah, there's no problem of Davar Shaloi Bal Olam. And that's the basic machlokes, about three-way machlokes, generally speaking. Those are the basic shitas. There are, of course, all sorts of nuances and different variations, but you have the Ketzos that says it's Siluk, it's not a Kinyan. You have the Tur and the Rosh that says that it's combined with a Shvua, you can sell a davar shel bal olam, and you have the Rivash that says, of course you can't sell a davar shel bal olam, even with the Shvua, just since it was Kaidim Matan Torah, it's not a problem. There's a fascinating shot offered by some of the Balei Tosfos, where the Balei Tosfos say, no, this kasha is so powerful, there's no real good answer to this kasha. How could you sell a davar shel bal olam? But what's the answer over here? How did Esav sell a davar shel bal olam? It wasn't really a sale. There's nothing really going on over here. You take a look at the Hadas Kenim, Teret, the Be'emes Yaakov, Hayy Bechor Me'ikar Adin. Yaakov was the Bechor. Why? Ki Beis Tipoi, Shenichnes, Oiz Bishvei Feres. Hare Shetipo, Anichneses, Rishoyna, Yoitzes Ba'achroina. We know the famous, the age-old Rashi. Rashi tells us in this week's Parsha, when you have two twins which come from, again, it depends whether they're identical twins or not, But in a case of where twins come from two totally separate eggs, two totally separate fertilization, so Rashi says, which one of those eggs, which one of those embryos came into existence first? It's the one that comes out of the body last. That's the one that came in first. The first in is the last out. So therefore, really, who was the first embryo created? It was the embryo of Yaakov. The second embryo created was the embryo of Esav. So even though Esav comes out, really Yaakov's the Bechor, says the Baalei Tosis, since Yaakov was really the Bechor, therefore there's no need for a sale. And obviously this is very difficult. How are we supposed to understand? It's not a question on Tosis, it's a question on Rashi. How are you supposed to make any sense of this Rashi? We care about which embryo was created first. We know the din of the Torah is Peterechem. Peterechem, whoever came out of the body first, that's all that makes a difference. We don't care which embryo was created first, we care which birth takes place first. So how are we supposed to understand this Rashi? Rashi is quoting a Midrash Haggadah. Rashi seemingly doesn't have any problem with it. Rashi says, who's the real Bechor? Whichever embryo was created first, which happens to be in a case of twins, the baby which came out second is really the Bechor. But we know that's not the Halacha L'maisa. So how do we make any sense of Rashi? It's interesting to know. That's a side problem that we could get over. But in Halacha it's not true. Yeah. So it has to, for both reasons, it has to mean something else, right? What's interesting to note is that this is perhaps one of the most controversial comments of the Vilna Gaon. There's a very controversial comment from the Vilna Gaon, and Ar Kidei Kach, so controversial that many Achronim once again said, not only is it Shver, the Vilna Gaon never said it. He never said it, he never wrote it, which when it comes to the Vilna Gaon, it's not so hard to believe. We have very little from the Vilna Gaon himself. Most of what we have from the Vilna Gaon is from Talmidim. Most of it isn't even from Talmidim. It's from Talmidim. We have very little from the Vilna Gaon itself. We have a few glosses on different Chalakim of the Yerushalmi, different Mishnais, things like that. And a few essays, a few Svarim that he wrote on Kabbalah, things like of that nature. It's interesting. A few years ago, in Manhattan, one of the museums had a display of old Ksav Yad, old manuscripts. And one of the Ksav Kisva Yad they had was that of one of the only, they said at the time, it was only four known Kisva Yad from the Vilna Gaon. And they had a Ksav Yad, a sefer they wrote in Kabbalah, from the Vilna Gaon. I went to see it. Can you imagine seeing the Ksav Yad Kodshay of the Vilna Gaon himself? You rarely get to see it. There's only four in the entire world. So we have very little from the Vilna Gaon. But his Talmidim quote the following in Parshas Ki Seitzeh, it's complicated how he's medayik it from the psukim, but in Parshas Ki Seitzeh, the Vilna Gaon says this exact thing, and they say that it was halacha l'maisa. There was a story that happened, came to Vilna Gaon, where you had a man who impregnated his first wife, then they got divorced, and very quickly he impregnated another woman. And it came out that the woman who was impregnated second gave birth first. So again, we have the same Shiloh. You have one embryo which was created first, but that embryo came out second. And the Pashup Shah, we would say, you go with Peterechem, but the Vilna Gaon supposedly, Paskin, no. We go with whichever embryo was created first. We go with whichever fertilization took place. That's what supposedly they quote from Vilna Gaon. The Nitziv was not too excited about this. Said the Nitziv from Voloshin. And it's Nitziv of Voloshin, and he is just one of the most famous ones that we know. But many Achronim say, never happened. Lohoye v'lohiye. The Vilna Gaon never said it. V'hoye ben ha-bechor l'sniyim mishum sh'noy l'rasheni t'chila. Says the Nitziv. Hey nishma v'shem agra. There are people spreading rumors about the Vilna Gaon. Lehepich, that he said that we don't go with the baby that was born first, but we go with the embryo that was fertilized. Shehochemacher iber v'loy amin lekol hashmua b'shem ribeinu hagra v'sheker ha'idu b'shmo. It's a fallacy. It's false. They made it up from the Gaon because we know we go with Peterechem. So if in fact we go with Peterechem, how are we supposed to understand this Rashi? Mm-hmm. Rashi tells us that Yaakov Avinu really had a right to the Bechor because he was the first embryo that was created. He was the first fertilization. How are we supposed to understand? We know. We don't care about fertilization. We don't care about which embryo came into the world. At the end of the day, Esav came out first, so Esav was the Bechor. So how are we supposed to understand such a Rashi? So perhaps we could... Okay, then we could have stopped the shit before we started. We can't define Bechor because we only have 3 minutes left. But Bechor can mean Bechor can mean many different things. Bechor, it's a huge machlok Rishonim. We take a look at the Rishonim Al HaTorah. You can look at some explain it as the Avodah. You know, Rashi quotes Avodah. Some explain it as actual Pishnayim. You get the double portion. Some explain it like the Ramban. That doesn't mean Pishnayim. It just means the status of Yitzchak, to be Mamshich, the Shem Mishpacha. That's what Bechor we're talking about. It's not clear exactly what we mean Bechor, and it's definitely relevant to have our conversation, but it's a much longer discussion. But Rashi says, whatever Bechor we're talking about, it doesn't go to the Peter Rechem, it goes to that embryo which was created first. And how in the world are we supposed to understand it? We know that's simply not the Halacha. So perhaps we could explain Rashi as follows. There is a very, very important Sfarno on this week's Parsha. The Sfarno writes, in the discussion with the brachos of Yaakov and Esav, why was it that Yitzchak loved Esav so much? Why did Yitzchak want to give the brachos to Esav? Explains the Sfarno. What did Yaakov have been? This is a very popular approach, but the Sfarno is really the first one to say it. That really Yitzchak understood that Yaakov and Esav were going to be shutfin. Yaakov was going to take care of the learning. He's going to be Yoshev Tav. He's going to be sitting in the koilel. He's going to be learning. He's not going to have anything to do with the outside world. And who's going to take care of him? Of course, it's going to be Esav, who has the propensity for such a thing, whose inclination in to deal with the world. He's going to be well and taking care of Yaakov. So I'm going to give the brachas of Gashmias to Yaakov. What does he need it for? I'll give it to Yitzchak. I'll give it to Esav, and Esav will take care of Yaakov. That's what the Sfarma says over here. Ki chashev she yetoiv li Yaakov, would be better for Yaakov she taspik lo nachlas eretz Yisrael v'she yichye ba im eze shiba kadeh shelo yitra nafsho. Yaakov won't have to be busy with this. Bin yonei hasroros v'hevli am nifsodim kemo shekar lezara achrika. Why should Yaakov have to get involved? There'll be one shut, one combination, one partnership. Esav will deal with the practical, the worldly stuff. Yaakov will deal with the ruchnias, and Yaakov will live off of Esav, a little bit like a Yisachar's Vulin type of relationship. That was but the idea for Yitzchak. That's what Yitzchak had the dream for Yaakov and Esav. And perhaps one could suggest that that's what's going on over here as well. Of course, when Rashi writes that Yaakov was supposed to be the Bechor because the embryo was created first, we don't care about which embryo was created first. We care about the Olam HaMaisa. We're in the real world. We care about which baby was created first. That's true for the physical world. For the physical world, the Bechor in the physical world, the one that gets the physical privileges of the physical world, was the one that comes into the physical world first. But when it comes to the Ruchnias, the world of the Ruchnias, what the Svarim called the Olam HaNeshamas, which Neshama is carries the Neshama of the family, which Neshama is considered to be the Neshama of the Bechor, in the Olam HaRuchni, who is considered to be the firstborn. We don't care about which came into this world. Who cares about this world? We care about the one that was created first. So from the spiritual realm, Yaakov was the Bechor, and therefore Yaakov would be the firstborn with regard to the spiritual world. But from the physical world, Yitzchak was the firstborn. Therefore, he would get the firstborn in terms of everything to do with this world, and there would be a perfect team, as the Sfarno writes. Yaakov would be sitting and learning, taking the spiritual Yerusha, and Yitzchak would support him with the, and Esav will support him with the physical Yerusha. However, when Esav defects and Esav says, I'm not interested in being a partner with Yaakov, I'm not interested in using my brachas to continue the ways of Yaakov, continue the ways of Yitzchak, my father, so then he loses his brachas. Then by definition, you have no right. The whole point of your bracha, the reason why Yitzchak gave you the brachas, was so that you could help satisfy the dream of our family, of the mishpacha of Yitzchak, so that you could support Yaakov and continue on this one great partnership. But if you're defecting from the partnership, so says Yaakov, you have no right to these brachas. Therefore, Yaakov said, I now have the right to the brachas. Because the whole point of the brachas is ultimately to support the ruchnias. The point of the Bechor and Gashmias is only to support, to help the goal of the Bechor and ruchnias. Therefore, once Esav defects, Yaakov didn't need to buy the Bechor. That's what the Balei Taser is saying. There's no need to buy it. From the fact that Esav was Vayivaz as HaBechor, from the fact that Esav shows that he wasn't interested in living a partnership with Yaakov, he wasn't interested, he was more interested in a bowl of soup than he was in continuing the legacy of his father. By definition, he lost it. There was no need for a mechira. By definition, since he was disgraced it, he wasn't interested in combining with Yaakov to lead this life together. Therefore, Yaakov automatically inherits once again, gains rights, as the Balei Taisiv say, to the physical Bechor as well. That's what Rashi means. Since Yaakov was the spiritual Bechor, he also deserves the physical Bechor, the physical firstborn, unless Esav agrees to partner up with him. Once Esav wasn't going to agree to partner up with him, so then Yaakov really deserves both. He's both the spiritual Bechor and of course the physical Bechor in order to help sustain his spiritual life.